Thank you. And I want to continue our worship by preparing to offer a message. And the only way I can think to do that is to pray for a minute. Gracious God, as we seek you in many different ways, from many different starting points and perspectives, we ask that your Spirit would guide us in our listening, in the pondering of our hearts, for me in the act of speaking and pondering in my heart. And may all that we do in this sacred space be pleasing to you and be an invitation to go deeper on the path of life. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was young, I and my siblings spent a great deal of time outside. I often think that I may have been part of one of the last generations with a really free childhood. There were so many days when we would go and we'd find a parent and we'd just say, "We're heading up on a hill." And for probably nearly a decade of our development, the answer would be, "Remember, don't go past the three trees." You see, that was the edge of our territory. There was a set of tag alder trees in the middle of a field, and they marked the boundary. Don't go past them, but you have a lot of space to play in until you get to the three trees. And for the most part, we really stayed within that set of boundaries. Now, tag alders, the tree that had been part of this this boundary fence, don't live all that long as trees go. They're kind of like willows. They're soft and fast growing. There's only one of them left now. And I still have a very strong relationship with my parents, but it's one in which they no longer provide me with boundaries for my walks. It wouldn't make sense if I was visiting them and I let them know I was heading out for a walk and my mother would say, "Well, don't go past the three trees." Not only are two of the trees entirely gone, but I've changed. Our relationship has changed. I no longer need a boundary. At least not that particular boundary. And I can't remember the day in which that boundary was outgrown. I can't remember the conversation in which it shifted. But when we read about the Jerusalem conference, we're reading about a moment in the relationship between God and humanity when a boundary shifted. Imagine humanity as an adolescent in a moment of renegotiating boundaries with God. And there's no question but what circumcision formed the boundary separating the people of God, the chosen people, Israel, from all other people. This is from Genesis 17, 9, 10. This is from the NRSV. "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep." Right? There's a little repetition there. "Between me and you and your offspring after you, every male among you shall be circumcised." It's the insider-outsider boundary for the community of God. It's the three trees of the covenant, community of Israel. And it's mentioned throughout Scripture. According to Luke, Mary and Joseph did not hesitate to take Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day. "Mom, Dad, I'm going out to play. Don't go past the three trees." I think it's common for people to think of Paul as, you could think of Paul in a lot of different ways. But I don't hear a lot of people thinking of Paul as a progressive theologian. All right? In fact, I've never heard anyone tell me Paul was a progressive thinker. And there certainly are many areas of Paul's thought where we could call him in, or we could identify places where he is supporting oppressive philosophies or community practices, oppressive to women, oppressive to the LGBTQ community, oppressive. So that's true about Paul. But think about this moment, because in this moment, he was functioning as a progressive. No, for real, he was. So Paul was trying to get a group of conservatives to let go of a source of communal identity that is clearly written in Scripture, central to the story of their identity, and consistent in the life of the community for 1,200 years or more. I mean, 1,200 is a raw number. But all he has, he can't quote Scripture to talk them into it, right? All he has are stories. They have Abraham. They have Moses. They have Joshua. I could be quoting stories at every point here, and they could point out that Jesus himself was circumcised. And all Paul has are some stories of God showing up and give spiritual blessings to Gentiles. And the miracle of this story is that Paul and Barnabas actually convinced the council. And when James looked into a moment when God in Isaiah foreshadowed that all the nations would come, the Gentiles would come too. Because at that moment, God was drawing the circle wider than anyone had expected. The gifts of law and circumcision were no longer going to be the gifts with markers of belonging, at least for those who are called followers of Christ. So today, there are those in the wider Christian family who would say that sexual regulations are clearly laid out in the Bible. And they'd point to X, Y, and Z verses. Don't go past the three trees. But just as I grew in my understanding and wisdom to the point where it no longer would make sense for my parents to say, don't go past the three trees when I head out for a walk, when I'm visiting them, so too humanity has grown in our understanding of human sexuality. We know more. We are more mature with respect to understanding what human sexuality is and the role it plays in community and human fulfillment. We know more about gender and the flexibility of gender identity that wasn't knowledge that simply wasn't available, context that wasn't present for those who were in relationship with God at the time that Scripture was written. Now, if I look right now out at where those three trees once stood, it's not a field anymore. It's a lawn, because there's a house that's been placed nearby. And it gets mowed a lot differently. Our context is different. And we understand so much more. We know now that human sexuality can fully be expressed in same-gendered relationships in ways that bear the fruit of love and caring, in ways that fulfill the kind of love that Jesus calls us to as we live together in faith. Like Paul speaking before the conservatives of his day, I can testify that I've seen the spirit of love dwell within gay and lesbian, transgender individuals and couples. And where the spirit of love is, I believe God is pleased. One of the things I love about serving here at Tabernacle United Methodist Church is that we're part of a community with a legacy of testifying that gift of love is being generously given in places where the church, as it stands right now, seems not to expect, is not honoring, and will not allow into leadership. I give thanks to be serving in a church that is resisting the sort of dominant strain of theology that is out there in United Methodism. You know, here we give thanks for Pastor Steve and his bravery in standing up for this message. We're thankful for all those who raise their voices and create a rainbow environment as our conference gathers. Right? So when the annual conference of our church gathers each year, not in COVID years, but when we gather together, there is a service of ordination, and all the pastors line up together wearing these white robes and red stoles. It's a pageant, an old, beautiful parade. And yet, because ordination is denied to people who are in the LGBTQ community, there is also a line of people dressed in rainbows who are saying, wait a minute, draw the circle wider here. Wait a minute, we grieve that there are people who are not able to be in this line. Wait a minute, listen. The Spirit is giving gifts to people who are not allowed into the places of leadership, who are not honored in their relationships with one another. The Spirit is giving gifts that the church is not honoring. We're thankful to be part of that movement. And when we're doing that work, we are saying to the world, we see God's Spirit in these people that the conservatives in the church would deny access and belonging to. In Eugene Peterson's The Message, this is what happened in Acts 15, verses 12 and 13. This is right before where I read to you. With the room quiet, Barnabas and Paul reported matter-of-factly on the miracles and wonders God had done among other nations through their ministry. The silence deepened. You could hear a pin drop. All they did was tell the stories of God's miraculous presence. God did the rest. God had already started before the meeting by giving Peter a vision that astounded Peter, shattered his understanding and conservative reading of Scripture, and prepared him to lead in the speech that one of our youth so wonderfully lifted up. God continued in the meeting by helping those present to see that hanging on to a conservative interpretation of Scripture would not save them. Can I just say that again? Hanging on to a conservative interpretation of Scripture would not save them. God did this back then. And they responded with a progressive decision. They decided that Gentiles would be acknowledged as full followers of Jesus Christ without becoming Jews. Don't worry about the three trees. We've grown a bit beyond them. In the same way, we are calling for the church to acknowledge that people in the LGBTQ community don't have to become straight in order to become Christian. Don't have to become straight in order to be honored in marriage. Don't have to become straight in order to be lifted up in leadership of the church and ordained as elders and servants of the church. The three trees are not a healthy boundary for us any longer. And I encourage you, if you hope for these things as I do, to believe that God, who spoke with a progressive voice through Paul and Barnabas and Peter and James, can also send the Spirit to the conservatives among us to tell them that we've outgrown the three trees. It's time to embrace a more mature and science-based understanding of human sexuality. We have grown, and it's time for our faith to grow with us. And so let us hope together. Let us pray together. Let us walk together. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb, we're going to sing Draw the Circle Wide. You have to give us just a moment. We're going to set up a little bit differently for this hymn, and it's going to read this way. The circle, draw the circle wide, draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle and draw the circle wide. The circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, being side by side. Draw the circle, draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide.
circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Circle, draw the circle wide.
As we were preparing for this service, our administrative assistant, Serena, did a little research for us, and she found an archive of old prayers, and one of them is a handwritten prayer by Reverend Brolin Parker, and I'm going to read part of that. But really, who are we? Sometimes we are more than we would be by ourselves. Sometimes we reach into our deepest selves and speak from the heart. Sometimes we hold a hand or stand beside one another. We cry with, we laugh with, we mourn with, we speak with, we listen with, and we wonder with the people of the world. We are the handholders, those who walk side by side with others. We are those who take time to live Christ's life with those we love and those we have not even met as of yet. And yes, we are gay, straight, bi, trans. That is who we gloriously are. This is what we do. And this is our prayer. Really. That was Reverend Brolin Parker. You could just, the way he's written it, you could hear it coming off the page. And I want to leave you with a benediction. Oh, may the blessing of God who created us with loving intention be with you this week. May the blessing of Jesus who came to start a movement of love and not a religion be with you this week. And may the blessing of the Holy Spirit who can help us to feel connected even when we are far apart, may that blessing be with you. The blessing of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit so that you will have a fountain of love from which you can bless others. Be generous with your blessing this week. Amen. Worship is ended. I invite you to go or stay in peace, love and serve the Lord. If you have our weekly email, I invite you to click on to the Zoom link and you can come into, and we may have a little bit of coffee hour. I don't know how many people are on it right now, but I'm going to go jump on it. If you would like to get that link, please use the Contact Us link on our website and you can provide some contact info and we will share that link with you. So, friends, peace be with you. Amen.